Matthew chapter 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. Now that's great, isn't it? Boy, isn't it great? Jesus is out there teaching and preaching, and these are the people who have, they've resisted him all along, and now here they come. Isn't that great? They show up. You think that's going to be good news? Probably not. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why do your followers, your disciples, break our rules? Our rules. So these are the leaders. They're not the Roman leaders. They're not the government leaders. They are the tabernacle leaders, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they've got rules. And one of those rules doesn't sound like a bad rule, does it? Wash your filthy hands. Wash your hands before you eat. And, you know, that's one of those rules that we're trying to make sure everybody follows. Wash your hands. And so it's not a bad rule. But they were making it a big deal. They were making it sound like these were the worst sinners ever. You must not be a Christian if you don't wash your hands. Sound familiar, doesn't it? This is the group. That's why they were sad, you see. Trying to follow all those rules. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, just trying to follow all the rules, making rules up. You know, there are some people who, in order to justify their existence in a company, make up rules. It's all they do, make up rules. And when they and once they made those rules, they got to make up new rules, but they can't think of anything new, so they change the new rule back to the old rule. And then they change it back. But they got to be there to do that, so they got to stay on the job. Y'all ever had to work with somebody like that? Just changing rules all the time, making up rules, making tighter rules, changing rules, micromanaging. And these Pharisees and Sadducees, they couldn't attack what was being said. They couldn't discourage the people from coming to see Jesus, so they decided to make an accusation against him and against his people and say, y'all don't wash your hands. Y'all are dirty people. And Jesus responded in verse 3. He said, why do you transgress the commandment of God? By your traditions. You want us to follow your rules. You want us to follow rules that you put in place, but you don't follow rules that God put in place. Wow. You see, that's the test, isn't it? That's where we start to wonder what kind of society we're living in when God's rules are dismissed and man's rules are highlighted, elevated, exalted. You got to do what we say because we're in charge. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Matthew 15 could have been written today. God's rules don't, y'all just focusing on stuff that doesn't matter. No, we're focusing on what God says matters. You're focusing on what man says matters. And how can you dismiss God's rules and then pick up your own set of rules and expect us to comply by them? God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, is that plain? We ought to honor our father and mother. Very basic. But ye say, verse 5, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. So by their rules, once you disrespect your parents, you were just free from your parents. You were liberated from your parents. You were under no obligation to them. The idea that I'm grown and if I give you anything back, it's a blessing. Now, I know that culturally we've changed, haven't we? Culturally we've changed. And that culture and still cultures even within our country, ethnic cultures have these ideas, these rules, these traditions that the children, even after they're grown, still send money back to the parents. I'm thinking about getting my kids to sign on to that real soon. And they would send it back. Kids had to. I had a friend in high school who worked a full-time job, went to school, worked a full-time job, and his paycheck, he got to keep 10% and give the rest back to his parents. I think is how it worked. I might have the percentages off, but basically his whole paycheck went to dad. And that sounds, wow, that's make that kid work and then give the money to the parents. Now, I believe that at the graduation, all that money ended up going back to him. And I've seen that happen with parents along the way. But the idea of giving to our parents because we honor them, we serve them, we regard them highly. But now, in this, he said, now your culture says, you just cut your parents off and say, you're on your own, I'm on my own, and that's it. You're an adult, you're free. We ought to honor our parents even when we're old. Now, the two greatest authorities would be what? God and parents. And by their tradition, what they have done is they have removed God, dismissed his rules. They've dismissed the parental rules. And so now they've got what? Government. Now, these guys are not they're not worldly government. They're tabernacle government. They're local government. But they say, it doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what your parents say. You obey me. But here's the problem. We are established with an inherent desire to honor our Creator, the lawmaker, the lawgiver. And then we are brought up as children, relying, depending for our very lives on our parents and taught to respect and obey them. That's how it should be. The first two authorities that we've ever known were God and our parents. And then this group comes along and takes both of those away, and doesn't that sound familiar? God, we're living in an age that reflects what Jesus was living in, where the respect of parents toward parents and the respect of God have been dismissed, but don't you disrespect the government authority. Well, he gets people upset. You can't be a Christian if you don't obey the government authority. And by the way, I'm a law-abiding citizen. Most of the time, I maybe stretch the speed limit a little bit sometimes. But I have a little red light in the truck turns on. You know, let's face it, there are some things that we might compromise on, but I'm a law-abiding citizen. Hope you are too. We ought to be. But what these guys were trying to do was to make a practical matter a spiritual matter. They were trying to make a tradition a law. By the way, just because it's legal doesn't mean we got to do it. There are things that are going on in our country, in our culture, and in this day where they have passed laws, they have made things legal. I understand, and I guess I should have looked it up because I just thought of it. Oregon passed some law that any kind of drug is legal as long as it's only for personal use, as long as it's not a selling quality. So as long as there's not much, you can have whatever you want. They just keep changing the rules. And you better obey that rule, because that's a government rule. It's unfortunate. People are buying into that. And, well, our culture is slipping away. I pray the Lord comes back. I just hate to think that our children will have to grow up in a country that keeps slipping further and further away from God. So Jesus called them out for not obeying God, for diminishing the authority of parents and of heaven. And he says in verse 7, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And I wonder how many people sat in church pews today and their heart is far from God. But they sang the songs, and they may have repeated a prayer, and they may have said, God is good, but it's lip service. Because their core is on everything else. Their values are on everything else. But they call themselves Christians. You can do whatever you want, but if you say you're a Christian, people will be fast to say, no, he's a Christian. No, he says he's a Christian. That doesn't make him a Christian. And so Jesus said, they serve me with their mouth, with their lips. But who is he talking about? The Pharisees and Sadducees. You have this role in the temple, in the religious sect, in the local government. You say that you honor me because you have to say that to keep your position. But the truth is, your heart is not centered on Christ. Your heart is not centered on God's word or on the things of God. What was it Jesus told Simon Peter? Get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things which be of God. You don't savor the things that be of God. You don't look to heaven for instruction. But you go to church. That doesn't make you a Christian. What makes us a Christian? When we surrender our lives to Jesus, accept him as our Savior. That's what saves our souls. Oh, he said, they draw nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain, verse 9, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, let me tell you something. I grew up in a Baptist church of the same strain that we are, with the same Bible that we use, singing the same songs that we sing. And I was taught some things when I was younger that were not the things of God. They were traditions of men. By the way, I celebrate some traditions of men. But I know the difference between the Word of God and the traditions of men. I know the difference of a doctrine of God and a doctrine of man. And we're not to teach doctrine of men. We're to teach doctrine of God. In vain they do worship me. So you mean that singing doesn't count? Nope, it doesn't count. Those offerings don't count? Nope, doesn't count. Going to church doesn't count? Doesn't count. It won't help you unless you're open to God to let him teach you by his word, to anoint you by his spirit, and to save you by his blood. It won't help. People think if they go to church, they're going to get to heaven. There's no access from here to heaven except through Jesus. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So if you have a little dirt on your food, on your fingers when you eat, it's not going to kill you. How do you say it? Depends on where the dirt came from. But you understand, he's just talking about it in general. These people they're trying to make a big deal out of not washing their hands before they eat. Yet somehow that disqualifies them from teaching the Word of God, from ministering in the church. Well, when he said that, then came his disciples, verse 12, and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? You offended them? Well, I'm shocked that we offend Pharisees. I'm shocked. And by the way, if you get offended a lot, you're probably a Pharisee. In fact, I'll go a step farther and say you're probably sad, you see. You're probably miserable. What's wrong with us if we're offended about everything? Get offended about everything. You know why I don't get offended by a lot of things that happens in the world? Because those people are sinners and they don't know Jesus, and I wouldn't expect them to act any better. Now, I do get offended at some of the behavior of Christians and some of the language and communications of Christians, because I expect more of people who've been washed by the blood. But sometimes it's just not the case. Sometimes people are the way they are because they're Sadducees. They're not Christians. Now, I know a lot of good Christians that have cantankerous personalities. And I'm sorry that's the case. And I would encourage anybody in the sound of my voice tonight, if that's you, change. Don't be ugly and hateful all the time. Be happy. Celebrate life and live for Jesus. Oh, you offended the Pharisees. Jesus, you offended them by saying that. He answered, verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. He said, you know, their problem is the roots are dry because they don't belong in God's business. They don't belong in God's organization. The tabernacle was God's organization. You understand that? This leadership in Jerusalem and in Israel was God's government. They had strayed. They had gone sideways. They decided their opinion was more important than God's word. Verse 14, but here's what he told him. He said, let them alone. He said, guys, who cares if they're offended? Don't go around them. Don't feed into it. Don't participate. Just stay away. Let the blind lead the blind. And they'll both fall in the ditch. And here's the thing, is when they fall in the ditch, they're probably going to call out for some help. And when they can't get out of the ditch by themselves, then they'll be ready for our help. So we need to be there to catch them when they're ready, to help them when they're ready, but don't bang your head against the wall trying to help blind leaders of the blind. Let them have their organization. Let them have their misery. And let's live in the light of love and the light of joy. And so he said, leave them alone. Y'all see that, verse 14, right? Y'all know I'm not making that up. Verse 15, then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. In other words, explain yourself. Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goes in the belly, is cast out the draught? Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. Now back up, because somebody's going to catch this and say, hold on a second. Up here, he said, they worship me with their lips. They do lip service. And now he says whatever they say comes out of their heart. But the difference is that at the bottom, he's talking about what happens when we let our guard down. And at the top, he's talking about when we're being hypocritical and putting on a show. What do you say in private? You ever been around somebody? I won't ask if you've ever done it. You ever been around somebody that said, oh, I didn't mean to say that? No, they didn't mean to say it out loud. They meant it, though. Now, I grant it, there are times where we have a slip of the tongue or, you know, mind's out of gear or whatever, and we do actually say things we don't mean. But a lot of times when we say things, it comes exactly the way we feel. It reflects who we really are and how we really feel. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, there are other times, and I'll say this, where it's not what's in the heart, it's a result of disease. And I've experienced that in the years of ministry, that sometimes what's being said is not that person, it's not their heart, it's their condition. He said, these things come from the heart, and that's what defiles a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Even murder. Where does that come from? It comes from the heart. Adultery. Where does that come from? Oh, it was an accident. No, it wasn't an accident. Fornications. It wasn't an accident. Thefts. No, you didn't forget to pay for it. false witness. Oh, you made that up. It came out of your heart. And blasphemy, speaking against God, comes from the heart. And Jesus said, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands. That does not defile a man. He said, guys, understand something, church. Our business is real business. Our mission has eternal consequences. What we do here is essential work. It's important work if we do it. Now, if we don't do it, it doesn't matter. Our business is important business. Let's not focus on the minor details. Now, please, wash your hands. Please wash your hands. But I tell you something, we're not going to stop the church service because you didn't wash your hands. Let's not major on the minors. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for our Savior. And I pray that our focus will be, and I know that this seems more relevant today than it probably would have this time last year. God, I pray that we will major on what's important and not trip over the minor things of life, that we'll not choke on the gnats. God, that we'll be successful in spreading the gospel, making a difference, ministering, loving, helping. So God, touch each of us tonight. Draw us to you and forgive our sins. We pray for our country, for our heroes on the wall around the world, and those on the front lines at home. In Jesus' name, amen.